Thank you, Vern, for that great reminder of what a great God we serve and how great He is. There's one praise we should have done during the prayer request or preparation for prayer, and that's to thank God that Peggy Tomat has received her hearing back, that her surgery was successful. And Peggy, we're just delighted that you are able to hear and thankful for that. Today I want to paint three scenes for you. And the first one, picture in your mind an old man and a young man walking together, hiking together, trekking together. They've been going for several days. They're hot, they're tired, it's dusty. And the younger asks, as young people do, are we almost there yet? Or how much farther do we have to go? They started out with a bundle of firewood on a donkey and two servants. And on the third day, they leave the servants and the donkey. And I'm telling you the story that's familiar of Abraham about to offer Isaac. They say, Abraham says, we will return once we have gone to worship. They were on their way to a mountain that God would identify for them, and there they would worship Him. And in this story, God had come to Abraham and told him to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. This is the eighth time that God had come to speak with Abraham. And Abraham knew his voice, and Abraham obeyed. In fact, the record says early the next morning. Well, it was probably early because I imagine Abraham didn't sleep much that night, knowing that God had asked him to offer his son as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. You know, he obeyed and left, and they set out on this journey, even though Isaac was the son of promise. Isaac was a miracle, because by this time, Abraham was probably 120 years old. Sarah was 90 when God made the promise and said she was going to have a son. Abraham was about 100, so Isaac was about 20 years old. Abraham was 120 years old at this time. And he could have reasoned, I can't do that. How would the promise be fulfilled? Isaac is to be the fulfillment of the promise that all the world, that he would become a great nation in the world. And he could have reasoned, what kind of testimony would that be? Some of the nations around him and the tribes did offer human sacrifices. But why should he do that? But Abraham trusted God, and the book of Hebrews tells us that he believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. And so he was willing to do this unthinkable thing of sacrificing his son. Well, they continue on their way without their donkey and without their servants. And suddenly the thought occurs to Isaac that something's missing, never dreaming that he was a part of the formula, but thinking, we have the wood, we have the fire, the coals, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb to offer this sacrifice? And in Genesis 22 and verse 8, Abraham answers really prophetically, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Abraham unknowingly is looking forward to the Messiah, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, who was coming. But God himself will provide the Lamb. And so they continue on and they come to the region of Moriah and to a mountain there that God designated for them. That's the place where about 800 years later that Solomon built his temple there on Mount Moriah. And it's near where Jesus would even later, another 1,000 years later, would be sacrificed on the cross. And so he makes an altar, the two of them together probably, took stones, built up an altar, placed the wood that they had brought on it. And then I imagine there were hugs and goodbyes as Abraham bound Isaac and placed him up on that altar. Took the knife and was ready to take his life when an angel stopped him and said, "Don't lay a hand on the boy, don't touch him." Now I know that you fear God. And so they looked, and there off in the corner, in the bushes, was a ram. And I imagine that Abraham quickly cut those ropes off, freed Isaac, and again they hugged joyously this time, not with tears, or if they were, they were tears of joy. God had provided. The ram was in the thicket, and quickly they took him and offered that ram as a sacrifice. And verse 14 of Genesis 22 says, "So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.'" In the King James Version, it's Jehovah Jireh. And some people use that as a name for God, Jehovah Jireh. And to this day, Moses is writing now 400 years after that event, and to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." What a great God we have, a God who provided for a sacrifice for Abraham so he didn't have to offer his son Isaac. Move down 1,800 years near the end of Jesus' ministry. It's time for the Passover, and the disciples want to know, "Where do you want to celebrate the Passover with your disciples?" they asked Jesus. And so he sends Peter and John into Jerusalem, into the city, and at the gate they meet someone. He tells them they will find someone there, a man carrying a jar of water. Now that's unusual because usually the women carry jars, and you've seen pictures of the Middle East of women carrying a water pot on their heads. Well, they said, "You will see a man carrying a water jar. Follow him to the home he goes into and then ask the owner of that home, 'Where's the place where my master can celebrate the Passover?'" And so they follow the instructions. Sure enough, there's a man. They follow him to his home, and there they ask the owner, "Where is the place where my master can celebrate the Passover?" And they find a room that's all prepared, and there they make ready the upper room where Jesus was able to celebrate the Passover and actually change it into the communion service. Establish the communion service, which is a memorial of his death and of his life that he gave for us. God prepared a room. And then the third scene, the next day, Jesus hung on the cross. And there, that was after he had been tortured inconceivably, as he'd been scourged, and they had taken and made this crown of thorns. I imagine it was very, the the crown of thorns and the thistles I've seen over there are similar to bougainvillea. And I have a couple of those in my yard, and it seems like every time I trim my bougainvillea, I get scratched all up. My wife says, it looks like you've been in a cat fight. Even when I wear long sleeves. But they took this vine that had long thistles, wove it together into a crown of thorns, placed it on Jesus' head. But that wasn't enough. They took this rod that they had placed in his hand as a fake scepter. They took it out of his hand and beat on that crown of thorns, driving those spikes into his head. That was after his back was already raw from the scourging. And there he suffered for you and for me. He was there on the cross, and as he was hanging there, the elders and the chief priests mocked him and said, he saved others. He can't save himself. Well, that was true. He couldn't save himself from the cross and save us. He could have saved himself, but he couldn't have done that and saved us too. And so he hung there on the cross. And finally he cried out, it is finished. And he died. He had provided all we need for salvation. And he's provided for all our needs. In fact, Jesus is all we need for salvation. Tim Gillespie, the young adult who was at that time the young adult pastor at Loma Linda University Church, preached a sermon and used the title, Jesus.all. Taking off from the .com situation. Jesus.all, because Jesus is really all we need, and we need to make him foremost in all we do. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was different than the earthly priests. He was our priest. He was also our sacrifice. And in Hebrews 9, 24 through 28, it reads, for Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. And notice verse 25, nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all, at the end of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face the judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin or not to deal with sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. God has provided a way for salvation for each one of us. And so God provided a sacrifice for Abraham and for Isaac. God provided a room where the disciples could celebrate the Passover and where Christ could establish the communion service, the memorial of his sacrifice for us. And God has provided a sacrifice for us, himself, once for all, that's complete, it's sufficient. And this is what we celebrate today in the communion service. God has provided. Seventh-day Adventists practice an open communion, and we invite all of you who are present today to participate in this very meaningful service.